recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Football on Off the Ball.
Cesar will have his regrets, I'm sure. Of course, but it nearly worked. And the strategy he chose for the season as a whole worked in both the Premier League and the Champions League. It just fell short.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
And you're very welcome along to Off the Ball on Newstalk. Wednesday evening, I'll figure out how to talk over the next few hours. Hopefully it is Adrian with you this evening. Yes, things have reached that stage of the game. Owen is away for a little while and it's Adrian with you tonight. We are going to reflect on the news you've probably been hearing and reading about and seeing over the afternoon. Katie Taylor, not quite confirmed yet, but it's getting there. Croker is looking close and that will be for September. It looks as if that deal has been hammered out with Matchroom. We're going to be talking to Gavin Casey of the42.ie about that later in the show. Cork and Limerick, Munster hurling final on Sunday in Limerick, and two men who were involved 12 months ago, one in the dugout, Pat Ryan, and one off the bench, I think, Seamus Flanagan.
It's in Cork.
In Cork.
Sorry.
There you go. My misinformation. The app that I read today. Yeah. I did second guess myself when I looked at said app. But there we go.
In Cork. No name and shame it.
No, I'm not saying anything. People will know. And then the FRC style survey. He's the new Jim Gavin, they say. William Maher is National Director of Hurling. And he will be with us a little bit later on to talk about the survey that they have out. It's only out for a brief period, a few days, but really is looking at the state of hurling from all angles. And we'll talk to him about that. Ger Brennan's crack back at Jarlath Burns this afternoon as well deserves some chat. So we'll do all of that. I'm delighted to say in the company of the voice you've just been hearing there, Arthur James O'Dea.
Oh, yeah. How's it going? Good, good, good.
Eve Higgins, how's it going?
It's just not my name.
No.
Eve Conway. Eve Higgins is a rugby player. Eve Conway. I'm making a good start to this stuff.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better now that I got your name right. Right. Loads to come.
It's great not going with it. Not accepting it.
No. Say it with confidence is how I've always operated in my career, Arthur. Even when you're wrong, say it with confidence and it'll be all good. I should be on the side of a pitch, and the listeners are probably saying, we wish you were on the side of a pitch watching Argentina versus Germany has just finished in the last little while. World Cup match up in our local park, mini World Cup.
Football.
And I'm delighted to report that Argentina have won the game 2-1.
Great stuff.
Fucked the trend of the last 30 or 40 years in World Cups.
Well, they are the reigning champions.
Well, but I mean more Argentina-Germany games.
Okay.
Argentina getting over the line.
Yeah. How do they work? How long do they go?
Oh, forever. Middle of mini World Cup and mini All-Ireland.
Okay.
Central at the minute. He's playing every night this week. I think they get a break on Saturday and then back at it on Sunday.
Wow.
They lost to the Netherlands last night. 3-1. There was a controversial indirect free kick after a back pass to the goalkeeper, a rule that they're all just getting used to at 9 and 10 years of age.
That's class.
You can start early, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Introduces them nice and early. So anyway, that's what's going on. Katie Taylor.
Yeah.
Is this going to sell out 80,000? This is the main talking point that people are interested in.
Yeah, we need to know. I don't know,
capacity.
Yeah, obviously, so there's like, on the one hand you go, so there's more seats on the pitch, so does it get bigger? Are people going to be allowed in the hill? Like, you're not going to be standing for it, are you? Like,
you'd be a far distance away too, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
In the middle of the pitch.
So I don't know. I'd love to know what the actual attendance can be. Mm. I presume it can go as high as you want if the demand, but it'll be interesting. I presume there's kind of levels to it, how it can be shaped and look depending on how the interest is.
Well, I mean, they only have 1972 to go off up to this, Muhammad Ali versus Al Blue Lewis, the most recent example. Just rinse and repeat.
How many were at that?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, it's it'll be very interesting. It'll be very, very interesting because it'll come down so much. It'll come down to pricing.
Yeah.
The time. Like, it's very strange, obviously. Presuming, like, kicks off. Presuming starts at, like, 10-ish, as all these things do. But then, so, like...
It's not... Boxing is not a family event is part of the issue here.
No, probably not. I guess, yeah. It would be a rough... Not rough enough, but it would be a tough enough way out of there at, like, 11, half 11 at night.
You
with
won't
two
be
kids.
Kids.
Yeah, like...
not that kind of show, kids. But maybe, are we too hung up on the idea of this 80,000 thing? So they'll have had all these conversations over the last, like, you know, the white smoke has gone up. Eddie Hearn and Croke Park Limited, is that what they're called? The GA, they've reached some sort of a conclusion to the whole thing after months and months of, I mean, a lot of disquiet, to be fair, between the two of them. But I presume over the course of those negotiations, they are saying, yeah, we could definitely get 80,000. We might get 60,000. What would that look like? We could get 40,000. And what would that look like? And that needs to be a success. And, you know, I think that we'd all feel comfortable that 40,000 is definitely gettable. I mean, it's very difficult to say to any confidence and say, like, who actually knows what the number is going to be. But I do think that 40,000 would look full on TV, would create an unbelievable atmosphere. Probably the upper tiers are shut. But I'm sure they're allowing for all of that kind of eventuality. Will, thank you, says there was 25,000. He was at it in 1972.
All right. That's when Will O'Gallaghan.
I did.
It's hard to know. Like, Croke Park only sells out, like, twice a year minimum. And, say, maybe once more on that if there's a really big semi-final. And that's with... That could be with any... You know, that could be with sort of teams who have dedicated, you know, thousands and thousands of fans who will go anywhere. So it's tough because it's like, realistically, is the fight itself going to be able to build a narrative importance within the next few months that you're like, I have to see this fight just for the fight? You probably go, that'd be difficult, but not impossible. But so the majority of people are going for to see Katie Taylor, and then there'd be like a portion that are going for the goodwill of Katie Taylor, wanting to give her a proper send off and stuff like that. Well, yeah, if it rains, like, how much of an event thing does that have? Like, I don't know.
Is it her, it being her final fight, enough to carry, I suppose, the numbers that they'd need? Is the question.
That's, you know what, that is a great question. That last bit around what numbers do they need to make it financially viable? I presume that whatever arrangement they're getting into, they are confident that, and I would suspect that must be in the 30,000-40,000 range, and I'm surely we could do that. And I do think, on your point, Arthur, I do think, like, is it 3 months we have to go before this thing gets, before this thing happens September the 5th? Like, I think Katie Taylor is going to be working the circuit a lot over that 3 months, and something we'll talk to Gavin about a little bit later on, but, you know, even the impact on that, of that, you know, the pressure of her final fight, the pressure of being at home, the pressure of being at Croke Park, the pressure of selling it out versus having to train for a fight. Is there a point within that 3 months where she just says, that's it, I'm shutting down the doors here and I'm going into camp, or does she have to keep at it?
It's hard to know. I don't know how much I would all... due respect, or I don't think her appeal has ever had much to do with what she says in public. I don't think that's how she's attracted interest.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think so. But, like, it's not like, it's not like it's her incredible ability, it's her results and perseverance and everything else. Like, I think that's what's built the lore. I don't know if it's like we need, like, because she's not, unless she's going to, like, take a drastic turn and start coming out and going kind of
smack talking,
turn heel, like, you know, and I don't see that happening. So I don't know. I'd be interested, maybe, but I like, how often would you, what could she possibly say that would be swaying people? Like,
well, I just think that there is a template here from, you know, big Vegas bouts, whatever the sport, combat sports, boxing, where they go on the circuit. The problem, like you're pointing out, is that Katie Taylor is very much not a smack talker. So she's not going to get into some sort of back and forth with whoever it might be.
And even to the point you're saying there, though, what I would suggest is that that type of talk is generally with the aim of selling pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Rather than selling seats. Because I don't know what the, like, I don't know what the attendance is at those events, but, like, it wouldn't obviously be to this degree. So even then, like, if it's at 10 o'clock here, that's like evening in east side of America, it's whatever kind of pull she is there, it's early afternoon in the west coast. Like, it's It's very hard to know. Obviously, like the primary, it'll be really interesting, to be honest with you, where you're at an event where the primary aim, it would seem, is probably trying to sell seats rather than trying to sell television subscriptions.
If Eddie Hearn was here, he'd be saying a little bit of both there, Arthur.
For sure, but like you got to like, I wonder like how many people, so it'll probably, will it be on DAZN?
That's the way it's
seemingly
looking.
Like, yeah, I like, there's so many unknown numbers here. Like, I wonder how many people have DAZN subscriptions in Ireland. Obviously, then you factor in dodgy boxes, whatever else, like grand. But
will you go?
Would I go? I probably wouldn't, because I wouldn't know if the, where am I going to be sitting? Like, am I in the stands?
Well, like, are you asking me?
I'm not going to be in. I'm not going to be on ground level.
Right, you work in the media. You're a part.
Yeah,
wheeler, dealer, mover and shaker, well connected in the media.
Maybe that's
If you can't get Arthur a D ringside, something's wrong.
Would you go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Touché.
Would you go?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I was there in London, 2012. I mean, me and a million other people, obviously, but I was actually there. The atmosphere was unbelievable. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'd rather watch it, do you know what I mean, and see it properly. That'd be my general gist. But
really?
Yeah.
Is it not an event to be at? It's not, feels like more of an event to be at. Like, the bit about the doing the rounds to sell the thing, it'll be Katie's farewell, and that'll be the, it'll probably be worded something similar. And, you know, that'll be the hook around it. And you'll be drawing on people's heartstrings to spend their 70 quid, 60 quid.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, you get those things all the time, all those lists come out, like, and she still seemingly regularly tops where it's the most kind of
respected or admired
sports person in the country. So, like, but I don't know at the same time, if you factored in like how many, so what is the, do we know, was it a Friday night or a Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday night, grand. So everyone who goes, by and large, if you're coming out from anywhere that's not Dublin, you're probably looking at a hotel as well. It becomes a very expensive event, I suppose, to attend. So it'll depend, I guess, on what the attraction is. If that alone will sell it.
And the undercard.
Or if they need to kind of... Because you're probably like... Basically, ultimately, you're relying on people who aren't boxing fans traditionally to come along.
Exactly. Event junkies.
Yeah. So like, it depends how you're going to be able to sell that. And that's tough. That's really tough. Like, I guess maybe it isn't, maybe it isn't. I suppose most concerts probably end around the time that's going to end. It'll still end. I suppose Crow Park still has the same out time it has to be done by based on where it is. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a little bit earlier than usual and it's a bit more palatable. So maybe it's not that unusual a scenario. Maybe that helps. Maybe that works in his favour.
I think if you're looking for event junkies / you know, bandwagon fans, it's the right country. You know, the kind of Irish fans, best fans in the world concept should hopefully kind of transfer over to our most successful female athlete,
yeah,
for what will be, you know, her final bout.
That's the pitch right there.
I'm being optimistic.
Get off your seats and get out there. Dermot Keenan's worried about dynamic pricing a la Oasis. Not sure about that. John and Limerick, lads, have a sinking feeling that the numbers won't add up and it'll be canned if the pricing isn't right. A swan song as the lights go down and her career is a hard sell. Probably disagree with that, John, but fair enough. Thanks for getting in touch. And then also on the WhatsApp, 087-9180-180, from Roy. Hi, lads and lassies on the setup ring. Ring at halfway line, seats all around the ring, and then all the lower deck stand open, top decks closed, depending on demand. What do you think? I think that'll be it. But I think there'll be more than just, there'll be a lot of seating, obviously, on the pitch. And that'll probably be some of the best seating, I would suggest.
Yeah, there'll probably have to be some standing as well, because you'll get to a point where sitting down isn't going to be viable unless there's some sort of, well, it wouldn't be possible because of the stands behind, but you couldn't have flat row seating the whole way from that way back to the goals, like, or whatever. I know the goals won't be there, but you know what I mean? Like, oh, look, it'll be amazing. It'll be very interesting just from a design.
It's not hurling. Get it out of there.
Design point of view, what they're going to do with it. Because it is like it's even screens wise. Like, I presume that it'll be. I'd love to know something like this costs to put on, because you're going to have to erect a massive kind of rig, and even there to have, I presume, screens up above the ring as they typically would.
Oh yeah, and maybe some of that stuff gets scaled depending on, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. We'll probably know pretty quickly, or they'll probably know pretty quickly as to what the appetite is, but I don't see a situation where it gets canned. They'll go ahead with it. They'll have a number in mind through which it's success, and I would imagine that number is reasonably conservative and doable. But we should see. I am interested in the detail behind it. Obviously, the GAA, public funded body, will that mean that we get to see all the ins and outs of who's paid what? And are you sceptical?
We'll see.
We'll see. So that's that. We've robbed your main story there, Eve. September the 5th, Croke Park. It's not been confirmed yet, but Friday.
Yes, so her promoter, Matchroom Boxing, they're calling a press conference at Croke Park on Friday afternoon, where it's expected they're going to announce that her final bout will take place on September 5th, and her opponent should also be confirmed at that press event on Friday.
Okay. Now, there was a lot of chat, obviously, over the last 24 hours, particularly about the delay in the announcement of the venues, times, fixtures, dates, all that sort of stuff for the next round of the Senior Football Championship, but they're out.
Yeah, they are. So the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship Round 2A match between Louth and Armagh will be played at Inneskeen in County Monaghan. There was some uncertainty around the South game as their new stadium is still under construction. And the rest of the fixtures are as follows. On Saturday, June 13th, we'll see Donegal versus Cork at McCool Park at 3pm. Monaghan versus Roscommon at St Tunnock's Park at 4:30pm. Kildare versus Kerry at Seadrill St Conlett's Park at 5:30pm. And Derry versus Meath at Celtic Park at 7pm. And then on Sunday, which is the 14th of June, we'll have that aforementioned Louth versus Armagh game at 1, Goy versus Westmeath at Pearse Stadium at 2pm, Tyrone versus Mayo at O'Neill's Healy Park at 3:30pm, and then Cavan versus Dublin at Kingspan Breffni at 2pm.
Yeah, I was desperately hoping that Galway and Westmeath would be on Saturday at whatever time. Wouldn't have bothered me. Sunday is a bit of a disaster. Personally, for me, these things don't factor into what they're doing, obviously, Arthur.
But no.
Pain in the arse, that's what it is. I was actually in Galway at the weekend for the Westmeath Cavan game. A delight of a match, clearly. But anyway, I've a feeling. Listen, who knows? It's not the day, it's not the week, it's not the year to be being cynical about, you know, the possibility of Westmeath getting through to the day. It's all about positivity, Eve.
Oh yes.
Eve's not going back to another Westmeath game until they get to a final, so
I'm good luck for the county.
You've only a couple of months to wait, Eve, exactly. And you'll be grand. But not all these games are seeing the light of day, Arthur.
What's
happening in terms of what's
what's happening? I don't know what's happening, but that's an annoying thing. So you're gonna have Donegal Cork's not televised anywhere. As is Kildare, Kerry and Cavan Dublin.
Like that's just astonishing.
And the rest, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I think RTE have Louth, Armagh, Tyrone, Mayo on the Sunday. And to the best of my recollection, the rest of the games then are on GAA+. Plus.
Like you're talking about Donegal, who are moving in or already shortest odds to win it, favourites, I think they call it, to win the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
So you can't see that game unless you go to it.
Well, I even kind of, the particularly egregious thing I feel with that is just from the perspective of the Cork fans.
Okay.
Like, it's by far the longest journey in the tie to go from wherever, from Cork up to Donegal for 3pm on a Saturday. So God knows what time you're leaving home, whatever. And just for the scenario to be like, go where you don't get to watch it. I don't know, like I appreciate, like there's 8 games. I guess we always knew we were only going to see some and not see others, but it's a weird one from 8 games and the 3 that featured Donegal, Cork in one, and then the other 2 that featured Dublin and Kerry, and Dublin being a lesser version of what they were, granted, but that they'll not be available for anyone to watch. That's weird.
The showing of more games through GAA Plus has created an, I think, currently unquenchable desire for every game to be shown. And I think that is going to be the next, that's where we're headed. But I mean, we are at certainly a stage of the championship where it doesn't feel like an unreasonable expectation that that will be the case. There are not infinite games.
No. And to your point, I do, GAA Plus probably has hastened that up, but I also think the quality of the games.
Yeah.
Has, where like, let me talk about this like last weekend, like the idea of even 2 years ago, sitting down to watch back to back Dublin Louth and Monaghan Mayo would have seemed fanciful. But now it's like, I can't miss them. I can't miss it. Got to see what's happening. Mm. And thankfully, both delivered. Both really entertaining games for different reasons. And it is, it's just kind of, you know, maybe Donegal Cork is a bit of a blowout. And I presume, I don't know what the selection process is. And to be fair, like, I'm sure some of the games, only two of the games. So two of the knockout games aren't being shown. So I guess that didn't really factor in either. But I'm just confused by decision making, to be honest with you.
Well, wasn't the evidence of, was it last weekend or the week before, that RTE had put a request in to get the Primo games, let's call them, and that was denied, and GAA Plus took them. So that would seem like they're, you know, the old contract was torn up, it's a new world, baby, and we get to choose what we want.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that, but that was my uncultured takeaway, agricultural takeaway from the previous round.
I do wonder, like, are more people interested in watching, even though it'll be a more competitive game, Derry Meath than Kildare Kerry?
Will there be a more competitive game?
Like, well, that's kind of, yeah. Who knows? It probably will be. Derry Meath probably will be a more competitive game. But if you were to, as a kind of, again, we're talking about, like, I suppose, but somewhat passing viewers, like, are you going to sit down to watch Kerry? Probably. I would. Like, you'd be just inclined to watch it. And Donegal, same.
If I throw that back at you and say, what happens if Cork cause an upset?
Well, God knows, like.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's just, it's a very strange scenario. And I kind of got it, like, it was 2 weeks ago, they didn't show, nobody showed Limerick Tipperary in the last round of the Munster Championship, and that kind of made sense because it was effectively a dead duck. It kind of more so depended what happened in Cork, Clare, and that's fine, they show that on TV. But in this day and age, you're like, at the same time you're talking about, so you're the prime All-Ireland contenders in Limerick and the reigning All-Ireland champions in Tipperary, albeit their season done, can't find a home anywhere. Mm. And I'm conscious also of the fact, the thing of like, now we're in a point where we see so many games that we're kind of, again, it's like the national or the rational thing is to push forward. Why can't we see them all? This wouldn't have even been the case like that long ago, like where you're like, you wouldn't see most of these games. You just kind of see whatever you were given. But it is quite, at this stage, it feels like Gaelic football's in such a good place and the games are so competitive that it just feels like you're being denied something.
Yeah. And we possibly are still operating off the previous rights deal that runs up until the end of the next championship. And maybe, who knows, post that, or maybe they look to renegotiate the whole thing in the downtime now between this and the time next year comes in. We shall see. It does feel like the more games it's been shown, and like you say, the quality of them, there's more of a desire for that. And probably if I'm paying my GA Plus subscription, obviously it's in the lap of the gods, maybe they would say, we don't have to show every single game that happens. But if I am paying it and then my county doesn't appear, I do feel a bit...
Well, you could say the same thing. You're paying your TV licence. So, like, it's much one way or the other, I guess. It's not, you know what I mean?
Well, it's slightly different. Slightly different in that I know paying my TV licence, my team might come up and they might not. Whereas in GA Plus, it's literally a service to provide the showing of said games.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry. Call OS meter there if you don't make it down.
That's true.
That'll be on GA Plus.
Oh, yeah. Forget about the rest just because you've got your... what was the... Father Ted, I had my fun.
Yeah.
A few comments coming in there before we get to Ger Brennan. GA Plus is like the old days of watching sports on TV. One game you don't particularly want to watch on terrestrial TV and the rest on Match of the Day. And then Finn in Navan says, the late throw-in time for Derry Meath game is totally disrespectful to travelling Meath supporters. Game starts at 7 p.m. in Derry, so 9:30 before people are back in their cars. Making any progress out of Derry, and then a 3 to 3.5 hour commute home, arriving back at around 1 a.m. and God forbid if it went to extra time, which games have been doing a little bit of. Fair point. Ger Brennan, Eve.
Yeah, so Dublin manager Ger Brennan will be back on the sideline for their Round TV clash against Cavan on Sunday, June 14th, but the saga over his ban is far from over. Brennan, of course, was handed a 12-week suspension after being shown a red card during Dublin's league match against Galway in March. Today, though, in a statement released to the Examiner via his solicitor, Brennan has said he feels disenfranchised, undervalued and a lack of belonging to the association. Now, off the ball's Tommy Rooney spoke to GAA President Jarlath Burns yesterday, who outlined what he viewed as the difference between Brennan's case and that of Jim McGuinness after the incident in Killarney last month.
The Ger Brennan case was very simple, very straightforward. He was cited for the minimum contact with an opponent. There's the sanction. That went through hearings, appeals, TRA. So it was a very robust process, and we know, and you've said it to me before, that the GAA rules, if anything, are fair. They are fair. And if Dublin want to change that, They can change it in a motion to Congress to maybe lessen it. The difficulty was, because it came in the very last game of the league, people feel it was very disproportionate because Gerrard missed out 12 weeks, not only in his county, but he also takes under 10 in his club. He wasn't able to attend matches, wasn't able to attend training. Took a lot, shipped a lot of abuse on social media for it. Totally unfair, which I would utterly condemn. Gerard Brennan's a good person and didn't deserve any of that. None of that would have garnered any more talk until what happened in Killarney. Now, the referee took a different view on that, and whenever a CCCC meet, they have to then say, whatever sanction we impose, let's say retrospectively, if the referee has decided not to act upon it, will that pass a hearings, an appeal and a DRA? They have to be cognizant of that, because there's nothing more embarrassing than something done in good faith at CCCC and then losing it at hearings, which is why in Donegal, you know, that motion that the spurious reasons given that can actually increase the suspension, that has helped hearings committees all around the place. So referee took a different opinion on it, and you have to remember the referee was in the middle of that. The fourth official saw it as well. The referee referred to it in his report and left it at that. If the Gerard Brennan event hadn't happened, nobody would have been focusing on that. But I heard people saying the GAA have painted ourselves into a corner. No, we didn't. We apply the rules. That's all we do. We just apply the rules. If people want to change the rules, bring a motion to Congress and we'll change the rules. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I have sympathy for Gerard Brennan in the fact that he has missed so much of the championship.
That was Jarlath Burns in conversation now with the assembled media at that event yesterday. Very long and legally worded, given that it was from a solicitor, Conor Sally, I suppose is probably no coincidence, but very long statement by the solicitor from Joe Brennan today. Certainly won't read it all out because it could be here for a half an hour doing that. But just to give you a small bit of a flavour of it, my client has instructed me to issue this statement by way of clarification and correct certain matters now brought into the public domain by the association. That's obviously back on the back of that event yesterday, feels compelled to do so. The statement goes on to say that it's noteworthy that at hearing appeal and at the DRA, the outcomes were reported in the media within minutes of the decisions being conveyed to them. In addition, the DRA written decision has yet to be released to the parties, yet extracts have inexplicably in recent weeks appeared in a national newspaper. The statement goes on, in relation to Jarlath Burns' comments, Mr. Burns now sought to infer that my client's infraction was different in that he received a red card and has referred to the referee's report as sacrosanct, meaning that it is untouchable and not open to criticism or challenge. However, rather than process the red card in the normal manner, the CCCC, in advance of their following meeting, sought to seek clarification as the pitch invader is described here. I think that's, personally, I think that's slightly disingenuous in that it was a member of the backroom team. Granted, he wasn't named, but as they say here, was not listed as a team official on the team officials list as required. My client considers the description of irrational in respect of comparisons with this case and other incidents in the game as insulting to those holding that widely held view. And on it goes. Joe Brennan is clearly not happy with the whole thing. Most concerned, it says that in his view, a consistent and equitable approach is unfortunately not being applied to every team, player and manager by the CCC in dealing with disciplinary matters arising. He feels disenfranchised, undervalued, a lack of belonging to the association given the events of the past 3 months. We'll go into this in more detail later on, but it closes here with the maybe most instructive bit of the whole lot, where it says it's important, however, that the above facts of the matter are known publicly given the comments made by the association and the subsequent inaccuracies reported in the media yesterday and today concerning my client and his case. My client would also welcome the GEA publicly putting the record straight. I did wonder why it was coming from a solicitor and as to why it was so sort of legally worded as it is entirely all the way through, but the GEA publicly putting the record straight feels like an over to you, Jarlath Burns and the GEA.
Yeah, kind of feels at this point it's hard to see what the resolution will be. Kind of, I don't, you know, the kind of, you're not getting that time back. So like, I can imagine why they're frustrated, but yeah. Like, and there was some of the strange wording in some of Jarlath Burns' stuff yesterday. It was my understanding that according to the letter of law, Jim McGuinness did breach that kind of the rulings. In terms of, I saw, you know,
yeah,
I can see why he would be incredibly frustrated, and it was a bit. I don't even, yeah, why? I mean, calling it irrational to compare the two is not. appropriate either.
Like it's fair enough. Like it's fair enough to.
Well, yeah, it's not apples and oranges, I think, is another thing where I saw it. Like
he said here, we live in a world now where everything has been challenged, and you have to ask yourself if this is a challenged in a particular way by a person with knowledge of the law, would it succeed or would it fail? That feels like not a question that needs to be asked. Like if we're applying the letter of the law, then we do that by the letter of the book. We don't try and preempt whether it's going to succeed or not. But
it's a whole strange thing.
We will get into this in more detail later on in the show. You can check out that full conversation on the Off the Ball social channels and our podcast stream as well. We were speaking about the darling of Ireland to begin with. Another one has announced his retirement, Eve.
Yeah, so Irish snooker legend Ken Doherty has announced his retirement today. He defeated Stephen Hendry to win the World Championship in 1997, reached the UK Championship final three times and the Masters final twice. The 56-year-old, though, has confirmed he's stepping back from the main tour but will continue to play on the senior circuit.
And maybe one bit of tennis news to wrap up.
Yeah, so a hugely surprising result at Roland Garros today as world number one Aryna Sabalenka is out in the quarterfinals. She lost to 25th seed Diana Schneider in three sets, 3-6, 7-5, 6-love.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Surprise stuff. Thanks, William.
No problem.
Eve Higgins. I'll commit now to getting that right from here on forth. Arthur, you're going to be back a little bit later on. We've a lot of riffing to do later in the show.
don't call it that.
Oh, sorry. Very not structured, planned out, out chat. And we will get into that Gerbrand stuff in a bit more detail. So if you're tuned into us at the minute and you have an opinion about it and you'd like to air that, 087-9180-180, as long as it's not libelous, we'll try and introduce that to the conversation a bit later on. So nice measured stuff. Is that possible? Who knows? News round brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet a day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligrams tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.